Welcome to the Vitality Radio Podcast, your source for the truth about health, wellness, and real alternatives to drugs, surgeries, and the status quo of healthcare. Here, you'll find information that empowers you to take control of your health. But it's not just about health and wellness. It's about the politics of healthcare and protecting your health freedom. Now, here's your host, Jared St. Clair.
Hello and welcome to Vitality Radio. I'm Jared St. Clair, and I'm your host each and every week. And today is episode one of the Q&A mailbag show, whatever you want to call it. We'll call it Q&A because that's basically what this is going to be. I get so many questions now at vitalitynutrition.com, at Vitality Nutrition in Bountiful, over the phone at 801-292-6662, on Instagram at Vitality Nutrition Bountiful, and in our Facebook listeners community on Facebook, all of which we have links for in the show description. If you want to ask your questions, you certainly can. What's happened, of course, is the show has gotten bigger and my audience has become larger. The questions have become more voluminous, we'll see. Okay, lots and lots of people asking questions. And of course, many of the questions are the same or similar. So what I've chosen to do is about once a month or so, I'll do an episode, we'll call it a Q&A, and we'll take somewhere between maybe three and six or seven topics, depending on what the topic is and how much time needs to be dedicated to it, and give you a quick but concise and hopefully very helpful, actionable bit of information for you to utilize in understanding, you know, what to do based on the questions that are being asked. Hopefully that helps. We'll definitely vary these, and I'm not sure if it'll be once a month or twice a month or every couple of months. Kind of depends on what the flow of questions is. That doesn't mean that you can't ask questions and get immediately helped. We will do our best to help you with the answer that you need. But as we get these questions, especially, again, when we get multiple of the same or similar questions, I'll put it out here because you know what they say, like if you get, for every one person who asks a question, there's 10 people that have the question, that kind of thing. And we'll try and get you some great information. So that's what today's episode is about. We're going to talk about these questions today. How much CBD should I take? We'll talk about CBD a little bit. Should I take a single herb or a combination of herbs or supplements? Why is the daily value percentage so high on this supplement? Does this come in a gummy? Is it any good in a gummy? And then do I need a prebiotic if I am taking a spore probiotic? Or in most cases, I get that question specific to the Vital Spores formula from Vitality Nutrition. So those are going to be the five questions I'm going to answer. Hopefully these will be helpful for you. And like I say, we'll go as deep as we need to and give you as much information as we can in the time allotted for this episode. So if you have questions, though, ask them in any of those places that we mentioned. Again, there will be links for those things. If you haven't joined the listeners community, I highly encourage that you do it. We've got 550 plus amazing people over there asking and answering amazing and important questions about health and nutrition. And I think you're going to absolutely love it if you join. All right, let's jump into this. But first, before I forget, I want to remind you that Be Healthy Utah is coming up. It's April 19th and 20th. If you're not in Utah, that's okay. You can still kind of virtually attend. It's not streaming, but they will send you the recordings if you're interested of about 40 different speakers, including myself, Carlin Call, many other excellent speakers talking about, all things health, wellness, nutrition, cutting edge stuff, great stuff. I love this event. Now, if you're in Utah, you can come in person. It's at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy on Friday, the 19th of April and Saturday, the 20th of April. It's a most of the day event, both days. All that information is at BeHealthyUtah.com. You can get 40% off if you use the code Vitality40 for your in-person tickets, two-day tickets, which are only $37 to begin with, so it's like $22 with the 40% off. Total no-brainer. If you can be there that weekend, I highly recommend it. But just for the speakers, just for one or two of the speakers, to pay $22 is well worth it. 2 to 3 weeks after the event, you'll have access to all of those talks, all of which are worth hearing for sure. I've listened to many of these speakers before myself, and highly recommend it. Vitality40 is the code at BeHealthyUtah.com. April 19th and 20th is the big event. If you decide to come, I'd love for you to stop at my booth and shake my hand, introduce yourself if we haven't met before, reintroduce yourself if we have. And of course, I'd love to have you hear me speak, which happens on Saturday the 20th at 3 p.m. So that's it, BeHealthyUtah.com. Okay, so the first question is about CBD. How much should I take? Well, first, this is important. So CBD is not regulated nationally in America. For some reason, the FDA, in their infinite wisdom, has chosen to not list it as a supplement like it is. They list it as something that is not, you know, they don't touch. They don't talk about CBD for the most part. It's all handled by the state. In Utah, it's really funny because it's handled by the agriculture department, not even the, you know, anybody in the health realm necessarily. And I've even talked to the state ag people, and one of them confided in me, and I won't name names or anything, but he said, "We don't really know what we're doing here. We don't even know why they've got us regulating this stuff, but that's what they're doing." So it's different in every state. And because of that, and because of potential lawsuits and things like that that could occur because of, you know, how it is in Kentucky versus how it is in Utah versus how it is in California and so on, we are currently unable to accept payments for CBD on our website. Therefore, while we sell a lot of CBD in store, we don't do it online. So if you have questions about CBD, I've done lots of shows about it. We'll link to some of my best ones in the show description. You can ask all the questions you have via phone is optimal, 801-292-6662. And you can certainly order CBD from us. You just have to do it over the phone. And we handle everything by phone call. So just to get that out of the way. So now the question is, how much should I take? Well, we get this question a lot. And the problem with CBD is really simple. And that is that it's a very experiential herbal supplement. And the experience is very different for lots of different people. So while you can feel CBD in most cases when you take it, either a reduction in anxiety, enhancement of your ability to sleep more peacefully, reduction in inflammation and pain, these are the main reasons that people use CBD. Some people, 5 milligrams is effective, and other people, 50 milligrams is effective, or 100 milligrams is effective. Some people do better with it topically. Some people do it better with it internally. Some people do better with it when it has a little bit of THC with it, which is naturally occurring in the hemp, and some people do better when it's just isolated CBD. And so there's a wide range of potential ways that you can use CBD and potential ways that you can benefit from CBD. The problem is, it's up to you. This is not one where there's a bunch of science indicating that this many milligrams of CBD has this effect on this percentage of the populace. There's just not a lot of that information out there yet. We know, for instance, that magnesium at 400 milligrams is a very effective dose for the majority of American adults. We don't know that with CBD, and I don't think we'll ever know that with CBD because I think it's just going to vary a lot from person to person. So this is what I tell people, though. While anything can potentially be harmful in, you know, megadoses, CBD seems to be very, very safe at very high, like way higher than a dose that you would ever need in most cases. And depending on your level of need, depending on your level of, you know, injury, for instance, if you're using it for pain and inflammation, or neurological condition, if you're using it for seizure disorders like some people do, or sleep, insomnia, things like that, which some people use CBD for as well. If, depending on those levels, in many cases, you may have a higher need than, you know, maybe somebody else with less significant issues does. And so with CBD, though, because the safety profile is so high, especially if you have a CBD that doesn't have THC or has very little THC in it, then you can very freely experiment with it in terms of dose. Now, this isn't medical advice. I'm not your CBD, doctor or anything like that. I'm just telling you what we know based on the research that I've seen and based on tons of anecdotal evidence. But what I typically recommend is that you start with, you know, what would be considered kind of a typical dose, which is somewhere between like 15 and 30 milligrams. It's a pretty standard dose of CBD for most people. And experiment with that more than once a day, just once a day, even a few times a day, and let your body be the judge. Are liquids better than gummies? Are gummies better than capsules? No. In my opinion, gummies, liquids, capsules, they're all pretty much the same as far as effectiveness. I haven't seen a significant improvement in, you know, benefit taking it in one form or the other. I think to a large degree, it's just personal preference. The liquid and the gummies will tend to work a little quicker, but in terms of overall results, I don't think there's a significant increase in benefit one to the other. So just, you know, pick the one that you think you'll like the best. If you don't like swallowing pills, you may prefer a liquid or a gummy. If you're looking for a little quicker results, you may prefer a liquid or a gummy. But if you hate the idea of having to chew it up or swallow a liquid, then you might prefer the capsule, and all of those are fine. My experience has been that across the board, people tend to benefit from somewhere around 10 milligrams, literally up to around 100 milligrams. So the range is very, very high. Most people fall somewhere in the middle, 15, 20, 25, 30, 50, somewhere in that range. It seems to be a good dose once or twice a day for most people. It has about a 12-hour half-life. And so taking it in the morning and in the evening can be very, very useful. But if you're just taking it for sleep, you know, take it in the evening. If you're just taking it for stress, take it when you feel stress. You don't even need to use it every day necessarily. If you're taking it for pain, you might use it multiple times a day if, you know, you're dealing with chronic pain. So that's the basics on CBD. I know that's not super clinical or scientific, but it is what seems to work. If you have more questions about the different varieties of CBD, the different combinations, things like that, please call us 801-292-6662, and we'll get you taken care of at Vitality Nutrition. All right. The next question that we get quite a bit is, should I take a single ingredient or a complex that has multiple ingredients in it? So let's talk about a couple of just basic examples of this. Maybe my favorite example of this, because I hear this one a lot, is should I take ashwagandha or should I take an anxiety formula like Anxiety Release? Now, Anxiety Release is my formula. I also have a Sensoryl ashwagandha in our Vitality brand. So, you know, why do I have both if one is better than the other? Well, it depends on what you're using it for. And I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of anxiety and ashwagandha specifically, but I want to use this as a way to help you understand, you know, why you might do a single versus a combination. So let's just talk about ashwagandha specifically. Ashwagandha itself is what's called an Ayurvedic herb, meaning it comes from India and has a 5,000-6,000 years of historical use. It's also an adaptogenic herb, meaning that it can be used for a variety of different purposes because depending on the state of the body that it is being ingested by, you may find that ashwagandha gives you a little bit of energy when you're a little tired, or it might calm you down when you're a little wired. It could potentially help you sleep if you need ashwagandha for sleep. Or some people take ashwagandha and don't sleep as well when they're on ashwagandha. So it's a little bit of an herb that, you know, is, again, experiential, like what I said with CBD, but a little bit different for everybody. But primarily because it's an adaptogen, it's generally quite mild. Most people don't, you know, notice any major side effects with it or anything like that. Generally speaking, I come down on the side of formulations are usually better than singles for a variety of reasons. But not always, okay? So let's just take the example of Anxiety Release and ashwagandha. Anxiety Release has Sensoryl ashwagandha in it. And if you take two capsules, you get the same dose as you get in one capsule of the ashwagandha from Vitality Nutrition. So there's one plus on the side of ashwagandha. You only have to take one capsule to get the full dose versus two capsules. But why would you take two capsules instead of one in the case of Anxiety Release? Well, because it also has L-theanine in it. And it also has lemon balm in it. And it also has B vitamins that help with the central nervous system and calming stress in that way. And so, yes, you've got to take two capsules to get all the things, but you're getting all kinds of additional unique but similar benefits to what you might get from just ashwagandha. We know that ashwagandha can help to reduce cortisol, for instance. Theanine doesn't seem to help reduce cortisol. If it does, it's minimal, but it does help to reduce mental stress and the feelings of overwhelm in the clinical studies that have been done on L-theanine. And so L-theanine and ashwagandha pair really well together because while they aren't necessarily synergistic in terms of one helping the other one work better, they are synergistic in terms of you're hitting the issue from multiple different angles and likely getting a more well-rounded benefit from the combination. So in most cases, I think combinations make more sense if the combination is well put together. And that's the big key. You know, getting one from a brand that you trust, from a manufacturer that you trust, from a formulator that you trust makes all the difference. But in some cases, you might not like how you feel on L-theanine, or you don't notice that anxiety release works any better for you than ashwagandha, and ashwagandha is less expensive. So in that case, you might do better with just the ashwagandha. It just really varies from person to person. And just like what I said about CBD, there isn't really a, you know, perfect answer to this question. But generally speaking, in most cases, unless an ingredient has a very precise benefit that you want to achieve. Like, for instance, I also have apple cider vinegar capsules in my brand. I didn't want to put apple cider vinegar in with a bunch of other things because, A, you need a lot of apple cider vinegar in terms of milligrams to get a result if you're trying to use it for digestive benefit. And so, you know, adding a bunch of other stuff to it would just dilute the potency of the vinegar. And B, on its own, it's really effective for what we want it to do in terms of aiding in digestion. Another example of that is berberine. I've got a berberine supplement coming out in the Vitality Nutrition brand soon. And while berberine can be utilized with stuff like chromium, with other things that are good for blood pressure or blood sugar or cholesterol or things like that, to get the amount of berberine you need to have a good clinical benefit, you need about 1,500 milligrams a day. And you wouldn't be able to get to 1,500 milligrams if you added a bunch of other stuff into it. So it varies from herb to herb, from nutrient to nutrient. But generally speaking, in most cases, you'll notice, at least in my brand, that my philosophy is combining these things together into formulations is generally, you know, the sum is equal to greater than the parts kind of a thing. So that's generally where I come out on that one. Question number three would be, why is the daily value so high on this supplement? Now, I get this mostly on B vitamins. So like the Ultimate Vitality Multi, for instance, I'm going to jump to it real quick on the Vitality Nutrition website. In real time here, see how fast I can type. All right, so we go to the Ultimate Vitality Multi, which we were out of stock on for about 3 weeks, and I thought that I was going to get taken out. People really miss this product when it's gone. Thankfully, it's back on the shelves. But let's just look at this. So in the daily value line, you're going to see this with B vitamins a lot. Vitamin B1 is at 4,100% of the RDA. Vitamin B2 is at 1,900%. So that's 19 times what the RDA is. Vitamin B3 is only at 1.5 times. Pantothenic acid, which is vitamin B5, is 1,000%, so 10 times higher. And biotin is at 3,000%, 30 times higher. And B12 is the big one, 10,000%. Of the RDA on that one. Now, in my multivitamin, you're going to see that most things actually are above the RDA or near, close to 100% or significantly higher. Why is that? Well, this is an important thing. Another thing you'll notice with a multivitamin, and I get this a lot, especially with the Ultimate Vitality Multi, is when I take it, yeah, I feel great, but I also, my urine is like bright yellow, right? And I'm peeing neon. Well, why is that? Well, is it because it's all washing out? No, but kind of, right? Like that's a really great question because obviously it's leaving the body, but keep in mind that every nutrient that we ever take eventually leaves the body, right? We utilize it and then we dump it out. But the reason why half an hour, 45 minutes after you take the Ultimate Vitality Multi, you may be peeing neon, as some people call it, is because some of it is washing out immediately. You're not absorbing it. That's just a fact. Well, guess what? Even in food, you don't absorb all the nutrients that you get, right? What we know about B vitamins is that, A, they're water soluble. So excess is going to flush out through the urine stream primarily. So why give excess? Why not put 2.5 milligrams in instead of 25 milligrams in of vitamin B2, for instance, if 2.5 milligrams is good enough? Well, here's the thing. If you're not going to absorb all of the vitamin, which you're not, there's not a supplement that I can sell you that you'll absorb 100% of, period. It just doesn't happen. Anybody that's out there that claims that you absorb all of their stuff is not telling you the truth, okay? You're going to absorb a percentage of it. A lot depends on you. Did you take it with a meal? If it required a meal to absorb better, which the multivitamin does, is better with a meal. How's your digestive system? What's your microbiome look like? Do you have leaky gut? Are you breaking down food efficiently? Are you constipated? Do you have diarrhea? What are all of these different factors? They're different for everybody, and all of us absorb things differently. But if you're only going to absorb, let's just say, for instance, 10% of the 2.5 milligrams of B2, and you need 2.5 milligrams, then you're only going to be getting 10% of what you need. But if we give you 25 milligrams of vitamin B2 and you only absorb 10%, you're going to get 2.5 milligrams. So to some degree, it literally is throwing a bunch at the wall, knowing that not all of it's going to stick, but some of it will. It's the some of it that will that matters. Some people joke, and maybe they're not joking sometimes, that they have very expensive urine when they take all these supplements. Truth be told, yes, you are peeing out some of the supplement, whether it's from Vitality Nutrition or from anybody else that you're buying supplements from. You also pee out some of every prescription drug that you take. You also pee out some of every ibuprofen that you swallow. It's just how it is. We're taking a lot to get a percentage of that whole. And in some cases, it's a lot more, a lot higher percentage. It's easier to absorb. And in other cases, it's more difficult to absorb. But the daily percentage is that you see on the side of the bottle does not indicate necessarily that you're going to take a dangerous amount of it. Okay. Now, let's talk about the RDA for just a minute. The RDA, the recommended daily allowance, or the DV, daily value, that the government has established is, like many things that the government establishes, pretty broken. Okay. Here's the thing when we talk about daily value and RDA. These were established, most of them, back in the 20s and 30s, 100 years ago, right? Some of them have been updated. They just updated recently in the last 5 years. They updated vitamin C from 60 milligrams to 90 milligrams. What a win for America, except that we know that almost all the clinical research on vitamin C shows that 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 milligrams is an optimal dose depending on what you're dealing with, not 60 or 90 milligrams. The 60 milligrams came from that being the amount of vitamin C that apparently helped to prevent scurvy on, like ships back in the 16, 17, 1800s, okay? These RDAs are based on keeping you from dying from a deficiency disease, not keeping you living optimally. That's the most important factor that we have to consider. So when we see something like Centrum, and I have a whole episode of Vitality Radio that is simply titled Centrum Sucks, it's 100% of the daily value of just about everything, which is not enough of anything, especially when you factor in how poorly absorbed that supplement actually is, that it's just not even worth it. So we have to go a little higher on some of these things to get the dose, the effective dose that we need. And I'll go back to berberine really quickly. Berberine is extremely difficult for the body to absorb. The clinical research indicates that we need 1,500 milligrams to get an excellent result from berberine, but we know that we might only absorb maybe 5 to 10% of that. But keep in mind, the studies were done knowing we could only absorb a small percentage of it, throwing extra berberine at the body, knowing it's only going to take a small percentage, but the small percentage that it takes will do the job that berberine is intended to do. The same can be said about the B complex and all these other things. So that's why the numbers look crazy. I hope that helps and explains something that makes some sense to you, that you can answer that question in your head. The next question is about gummies. I've done a whole show about gummies too. I won't belabor that too much, but gummies are all the craze. I get it. They taste good. I love gummies. My favorite candy, if I'm just looking to eat candy, I'll take a gummy over just about anything else. I really will. I love gummies. I can't hardly eat gummies anymore because they're all made out of just complete garbage. But sometimes, and Jen and I, my wife, we joke about it. We use Screen Eyes. It's one of our favorite gummies. It's got lutein and zeaxanthin in it at clinically effective doses, and it tastes like candy, and it doesn't have crap in it that we don't want in our bodies, except for a little bit of sugar, but not a ton of sugar. And it's a treat. It's a supplement that's also a treat, okay? So I get it. I get the allure of gummies. I do. But here's the thing. There's only so much you can jam into a gummy and still make it taste good. So it's just being smart about it. You know, some things can absolutely be had in a gummy. There's two downsides to gummies. One, they're almost always going to have a little bit of sugar in them that you probably don't need, right? And two, they're almost always going to be significantly more expensive than their capsule counterparts. And so an example of that is actually really simple. I talked about the apple cider vinegar from Vitality Nutrition. Well, a company called Zao here in Utah has an apple cider vinegar gummy. They taste delicious. I love them. For me, they're a treat. They're 500 milligrams. It's the same dose in one gummy as there is in one capsule of my Vitality Nutrition apple cider vinegar. But here's the problem. 60 of those will cost you a little more than 180 of the capsules. So unless you can't swallow capsules or you just simply love the treat of the gummy, it doesn't make economic sense, right, to buy the gummy versus the capsule. So those are the two caveats right up front. But the third caveat that really matters is the first one I mentioned, and that is you can only jam so much into a gummy. So the only time a gummy makes sense is if you can jam enough of the efficacious dose into that gummy to give you the result that you're looking for. So gummies with vitamin D make sense. Although you can get a capsule much cheaper, a vitamin D gummy, they can put 5,000 units in it, no problem, or 2,000 units or 1,000 units, depending on what you're looking for. Melatonin makes sense because you only need 2, 3, 5 milligrams of melatonin. They can jam that into a gummy, no problem. Still tastes really good too. Elderberry, they can put an elderberry extract into a gummy and concentrate it and put a couple hundred milligrams. You can get an effective dose of elderberry in a gummy. I mentioned the Screen Eyes, my very favorite, and the apple cider vinegar. While you do need 500 to 1,000 milligrams of apple cider vinegar, they can put that much apple cider vinegar into a gummy, and it works because it can still taste good. But if you tried to put 500 milligrams of quercetin into a gummy, you'd never want to eat it. If you wanted to put 500 milligrams of berberine into a gummy, you would run screaming the other direction. I promise you, I've tasted berberine. It is awful. You want it in a capsule form, okay? So magnesium in a gummy can be done. I don't think they taste great. They're kind of chalky, and I don't love the forms. Most of them are citrate, but if you've got a child who can't swallow a capsule, you can't figure out how to get them a powder into a liquid or whatever, then a magnesium gummy can make sense. I don't think it makes much sense for adults, though. Probiotics can actually be pretty good in gummies if they're spore probiotics, because gummies require a lot of heat to manufacture. So you definitely want your probiotic to be a spore if it's going to be in a gummy. There's two really great ones that I love, especially good for kids that can't swallow pills. The Nordic Naturals probiotic gummy is really good, has the Bacillus coagulans in it. And also I love the one from Zao, again, called Gut Guru, which also has some prebiotics. So good stuff there. The gummies that I usually recommend avoiding are going to be multivitamins. With the exception of kids, some gummies, multis for kids aren't too bad. Although I've looked and looked and looked, and the best multi I could find for kids had to be in a powder form. That's the Vital Kids multi, because you just couldn't jam everything that we wanted into a gummy, but the powder works really well and still tastes pretty good. But for adults, the multis are so weak potency, you're not going to get much out of it. Not worth it. And they don't even taste that good. Omega-3, you're usually not going to get nearly enough omega-3 in a gummy. Maybe for very, very little kids. But other than that, you're better off going with a liquid or a pill. Hair, skin, and nails gummies. This is a tricky one because you can get plenty of biotin in a gummy. And it'll actually help your hair health. But most everything else they're throwing in those gummies is just window dressing. There's not enough in there to make any real impact. And frankly, it'd be way less expensive to just buy biotin in a capsule or just buy biotin in a gummy without all the other peripheral stuff. If you're looking for a hair, skin, and nail supplement gummy, usually you're spending more than you should. And then like the greens, the reds, the blues, those gummies are okay, especially for kids. But you're not going to get nearly as much as you would in a powder or a capsule for an adult. So if it comes in a gummy, and almost everything seems like it does now, that's fine if you like the gummy delivery system, but make sure you're getting a gummy that actually is going to give you the results that you need and the potency that you need. That's what I recommend on that. And the last question is this, and it's one of the more common questions we get. I'm taking spore probiotics. Do I need a prebiotic? So most of this comes when we talk about Vital Spores, the Vital 5 probiotic that I developed a few years back. And the answer is not definitive, but it is an important answer, and I want to explain this in some detail for you. First, spore probiotics are not prebiotics, but they have an advantage over human strain probiotics that make them behave in such a way that almost is like a prebiotic. So let me explain what I mean by that. First off, prebiotics, let's define that. Prebiotics are mostly fibrous foods that the body uses, that the bacteria in your gut uses as nourishment, as food. It's literally bacteria food. The bacteria chew that stuff up, and they're able to utilize that nutrition to procreate and make more bacteria, which is what the microbiome should be doing all the time. That's a prebiotic. You can get it in supplement form, but you can also get lots of prebiotics in your food, in fiber-rich foods, okay? The advantage of prebiotics is they will help to feed and nourish the probiotics that are already on board in your gut. Spore probiotics they are not food. They also do not colonize in the gut like human strain probiotics. What they do, though, one of the things that they do, and this isn't a show about spore probiotics. If you want to learn about those, we'll link to the four strains episode that people found very, very useful for understanding the spores. But for the purposes of answering this question, I'll get into this just a little bit. And that is, one of the things that spores do is they make a very high lactic acid environment in the gut. Lactic acid is not a prebiotic, but it is a critical element of an environment that is conducive to the production of additional probiotics, okay? So basically, it helps the colonization happen in the gut in a different way than prebiotics do, but both are necessary. And so while you don't need prebiotics if you're taking spore probiotics, per se, because the spore probiotic will do what it does with or without prebiotics, you can probably speed the process of rebuilding your microbiome by getting some prebiotic bacteria in there, prebiotic fiber in there for the bacteria that's in the gut. That being said, the more sensitive your gut is, the more likely you are to be sensitive to prebiotic fiber. So prebiotics are often problematic for people who have a lot of leaky gut, a lot of gut dysbiosis, and are really struggling. So you have to be cautious adding prebiotics in. They won't hurt you, but they can make you feel worse, not better. They can make you feel more rumbly, more gassy, more bloated, potentially cause diarrhea or even constipation. So if you're going to introduce prebiotics, introduce them slowly, either in food form or supplement form. That's up to you. But don't think you've got to have prebiotics in order for spore probiotics to work. Spore probiotics work great in the absence of prebiotics. They do all the things they do with or without prebiotics on board. Can prebiotics be helpful? Yes, but not because of their relationship to spores, just because of the relationship to the other good guys in the gut. So hopefully that answers that question. Do I need a prebiotic if I'm taking spore probiotics? No. Could it still be helpful? absolutely potentially could be helpful. I usually recommend starting with the spore probiotics, specifically Vital Spores or Back on Track, my two spore probiotics that I am a huge believer in and that we get great feedback on. See how you do for a month or so. And then if you want to add a prebiotic to try and speed the process, certainly worth investigating and trying that out as well. Okay, so there are the five questions I wanted to answer on this episode. I didn't know how long it would take, but it looks like we got to about a half an hour. I'll continue to do Q&A episodes. Generally, I think we'll probably have 4 to 6 or 7 questions in each one. And hopefully this is helpful for you. What I would love to hear from you are more questions so we can do more shows like this if you liked this. But also, I'd love to hear, did you like this show? Do you like this format? Is this helpful for you? These quicker snippets on what you need to know about commonly asked questions. If this is useful to you, please let me know in the listeners community, on Instagram, when you call us at Vitality at 801-292-6662, any of those places would be very, very helpful. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to me, and I take it very seriously. Thank you so much. If you have questions about anything you hear, call us or jump online at vitalitynutrition.com and check out our chat feature there. I'm Jared St. Clair, and this has been Vitality Radio.
You've been listening to the Vitality Radio Podcast. Enjoy your week. In the meantime, Jared will be feverishly searching for the latest nutrition info to educate you on and wading into mounds of propaganda to help steer you through it. Vitality Radio is researched and written by Jared St. Clair. Our awesome music is by Brian Bob Young. Support Vitality Radio by subscribing and giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast source. Don't forget to follow us at Vitality Radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Please let us know your thoughts about this episode by using the hashtag Vitality Radio Podcast. And if you like what you hear, go tell somebody with a share, a screenshot, or an airdrop. Thank you.